All right. Well,
it's running.
I need to. Where's my charger? There it is. Nope, wrong charger. Wrong cord. Do I have a proper cord for this one? Nope. Sure don't. Well then, we're just gonna lose in the other car. Well, that's the way she goes. Okay, so we're using the Bluetooth microphone this time, so we'll see how this thing behaves. And I don't know what kind of fun it does. Now it says it's recording again. Hey, it records again. Interesting. I really don't have a good sense for any of this. We've got a little bit of haze today. I'm making a trip to Albuquerque to do an interview. I'm doing what I normally do, which is leaving these things up to the Lord, and whatever inspiration I get, I take. Like, I really went, I went and just almost on a whim, without any study at all, I went and took my Security Plus test. I could do it online, and I passed it. I barely passed it, but I passed it, which is all that the Lord requires to do. That's a big thing for classified work. So that got done, and that makes it so that I'm much more interesting to classified employers. What's also the next thing? We got the oil changed in the car. You know what? Hang on. I'm gonna throw this down to some cute person. Wipe down my mirror here, and I can hardly see it. I'm just going to scrub it a little bit so I can see out of it. Whoops. That's a lot better. Okay. Whew. Anyway, and I'll probably get phone calls. You know, when you travel, you always get phone calls. That's just normal way of being, so deal with that as it goes along. I've been reading in the Book of Mormon where Mormon's talking about had a couple of battles where they overcame the Lamanites trying to kill them. Uh, and Mormons thought that people were being humbled by their circumstances. They couldn't hold on to anything. You know, bury something in the dirt so you could find it later, money or whatever. And you come back and you couldn't find it. It disappeared or something. Anyway, and it was very sad that they weren't really repenting. It was the sorrow of the damned, I guess, was what he described it as. Interesting to equate that to today. There's going to be a far more generalized destruction of the wicked. I don't doubt that. It will be a whole lot of the same sort of things as was happening in Mormon's time. Well, happening. Soon enough. So, very apropos scripture to be pondering right now. You go on YouTube and you get these videos from these guys, basically audio podcasts with just some pictures on it, which is for people who don't have amazing equipment. That's a pretty good thing. I think I've got a certain amount of a setup that can work like that. Anyway, some of these podcasts have been talking about the time of the Gentiles being fulfilled or ending. Yeah, the return of the time of the Jews. I don't know if it's a return, but it'll become a time of the Jews again. can I be honest? I don't really know if the time of the Jews hasn't been happening for quite a while. It's really quite stunning with you. And I've done just a cursory slog into this. Oh, he's not after me. Good. Okay. Boy, that got a lucky break there. Usually I am the guy they're going after. Doesn't matter how fast everybody else is going on. They're always... Lord's coming to hit me. But apparently not today. Well, regardless. Innovation that was going on. Now, everybody already knows that I talk about that the innovation, that most of the big major innovation ended before 1940. And we're mostly just implementing some of the stuff that was discovered back then, and I don't think we've really discovered much since then. It was the death of the inventors and the rise of the engineers, you know, people who are just taking what was already there and turning it and miniaturizing it, whatever, and that. At the time of the Jews, I mean, you look at all the really significant things, and you go back in people's backgrounds, this is of Jewish abstraction, you know, and they're going, it says you can't help but notice that was what was really happening. Just kind of stunning in a way. So when they say, oh, the time of the Gentiles will end and the return of the Jews, you know, and the time of the Jews will start, you go, you know? I can't say, but the restoration of the state of Israel may have signaled the rise of the Jews by... Even I think in the history of the church, significant connections with the Jewish people, and how interesting that was, I think it's pretty much kind of faded. The church as an outgrowth of the children of Israel, I think, is struggling. fact that that presiding bishops of the church, you know, the keepers of the storehouse, the keepers of the temple, all those things, before there was really a somewhat secularized method to pay tithing, you would bring what was basically a tithe to the temple and put it into the temple of what they were called. I forget what Christ calls it. Oh, great. Oh. I see all kinds of emergency vehicles here, but they're not on the interstate. That's nice, but I wonder what's going on up there. Don't tend to be much of a rubbernecker for trying to figure out what's going on. A lot of people are exactly like that. I mean, you'll see all those wrecks or slowdowns for people wanting to stare and gawk and try to figure out what's going on with emergency vehicles. That's an ambulance. It looks like they're just coming off of one of the ranches. How they met up with one of the emergency people is bringing people from a range. I don't know. Interesting. But regardless, it makes you wonder if the time of the Gentiles really kind of died already. And, you know, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if World War II and the fact that British Palestine got made into Israel and, you know, Jordan and Syria and all those other places. And that really became the time of the Jews. And the Jews are back. Certainly still a major influence, a major thing. A lot of Gentiles are not very happy with the Jews. A lot of grumbling about Jews run this, Jews run that, this and that, this and that. And they're going, well, you know, it's that time. And the fact that the Gentiles are as much as they are being able to have an influence on the world, to be honest, since America who is a big Jewish supporter, where other groups really aren't so much so. The fact that it's the sole superpower, the fact that it has housed so many Jews, and Jews are such a vibrant part of American life, should be quite indicative of the fact that of why America is still doing so well, even in spite of all the garbage. Going on in the world. So I'm tempted to say that the time of the Jews is now. And what you see of people coming to Zion, the fact that we're not really stopping people from migrating to the United States, particularly, I think to a large part it's people coming to Zion, and not, you know, and it's just this thing. I know people say, well, it's economics, and you go, well, I'm not going to discount that, but really quite interesting how many people are choosing to gather anyway. My Jewish family started coming in like the 1880s, and were mostly here in the 1900s, the early 1900s. And that was when a lot of Jews started coming. There have always been some Jews in America. But, you know, it really started happening the close of the 19th century, the opening of the 20th. They were all coming here to escape oppression in Europe. They've been tolerated in Europe for a long time. They've put up with a whole lot. Then there was this America place that seemed to be even accepting of Jews. And it was like, wow, this is fantastic, man. So that was where that whole thing went. What else do I have to say? Shoot. So I think the time of the Gentiles really ended up being kind of the Industrial Revolution. And in the information age, that seems to be a much more Hebraic thing. That doesn't mean that all the Jews are righteous. Oh, God, no. But it does make me think. We keep redoing things as, oh, well, these things have to happen before the second coming. And you go, you know what? I said, I can see it having already happened, and that we're deep in the midst of this, and that a lot of I can't say much The current war between Russia and Ukraine, as far as I've been told, both of the leaders of the two countries, both Vladimir Putin and Vladimir Zelensky, are both of Jewish abstraction as well. You know, not exclusively, but they do have Jewish backgrounds. And it just makes you think and go, wow, man, isn't this what was supposed to be happening? Anyway, so. Pardon. What's a good word for it? Anyway, that's an interesting thing that just came to mind. Oh, I was listening to Jordan Peterson has a bit of a podcast, and although I download, I don't listen to it very often. But he had one fellow on that was doing some really interesting work in alternative education, and really quite progressive. And like I said, you know, people poo-poo for progressiveness. I'm not into progressiveness that leads to destruction and evil. I don't think that's a good thing. But I'm not conservative at all. Old time libertarian, liberty guy, old classical liberal, and you know, I don't mind interesting ideas. I'd rather the government not be involved with them. That always tends to make things kind of bad. Anyway, so there was this fellow, and I don't remember his name, out of Austin, Texas. He is an entrepreneur like few others. By the time he was 29, he had already amassed $500 million, and he said, I don't need to work for money anymore. So he started worrying about other things, like his children. And I guess he had sent them to a Montessori preschool. And I had studied all this when I was younger, you know, when I was going to school, college. I studied Montessori. I got really interested in Waldorf education, which is really interesting. Three of my kids have been associated with Camp Hill, which is an offshoot of the philosophy called Anthroposophy, which was formulated by a fellow named Rudolf Steiner, German fella. And one of the other things that kind of came from Waldorf, from Rudolf Steiner, was Waldorf education. And I find that interesting that I had studied that much earlier in my life and said, well, that might be interesting. I might be into that. And ultimately, my oldest daughter, is still involved with that. Of course, now she's decided she's transgendered, which I'm just totally, I'm sorry. That's, I consider such things foolishness and not very, I think it's just dumb. I think it's a dumb waste of time, energy, money, and everything else to get involved with things like that. But anyway, she actually, it was my younger daughter, Brenjalee. She actually went off to do this with the AmeriCorps. Actually, well, you know what? It's kind of a long, convoluted story. I sent my kids off to do many interesting things. Shayna went off to do her art, and that was okay, you know. So I encouraged the arts. I think she went into debt more than she should have, but you know, a lot of people do. You know, it's not like, oh, you're a bad person. You go, no, just normal kind of wasn't thinking. And didn't take advice from parents, particularly. How many kids do? So isn't that sad? Because if they did, they would probably have a better life. But you know, it's the road they have chosen. Once your children become adults, they need to go down their own roads. They don't need to hang out around their parents too much. And my kids have done an admirable job of doing that, I think. I think they've done some pretty interesting things. So anyway, okay, so this fella had Montessori, did the Montessori thing, which is based on Maria Montessori's work with poor children, poor orphans, a lot of them, or for really poor families where the kids were just left to themselves because the parents just got to work and work and work. And there was a whole thing about Montessori schools that built up, and you can still find them in a lot of places. And they're kind of a thing. These are mostly the things of rich people. It kind of brings me back to the Book of Mormon again. Mormon was very much a person that said that he was kind of a class guy. Or at least he saw it in the people right before Christ came to the American continent, that was one of the problems, was rich people grinding the faces of the poor and not giving them opportunities for growth. And primarily through, and he didn't call it education because, like I said, education is a business. Education is if you're nice, you'll call it a structure. If you're not nice, and I'm not particularly nice to education, I'm kind of glad every time I get away from education, I'm kind of a little happy, although it's really easy to get sucked back into it. I have several times, and well, anyway. Ouch. Oh. Chad morning is what it's called in the Book of Mormon, or how Mormon describes it, the opportunities for learning. Of course, now with the internet, it's such a democratized thing. And it's amazing. I love Wikipedia, and people say, oh, it's a bastion for left-wing whack jobs. And you go, yeah, well, you know, it says everything's going to have its own take, its own twist. That's just normal. And you don't want to get too strange about it. Just because, you know, it's... Well, it's just gonna, you know what I'm thinking right now? Right. So solutions, which is interesting because it's actually somewhat classified. Those guys want classified people working on it, and it really doesn't. It really doesn't have but it's one that I can do remotely, so I've been kind of going, ooh, this one would really be nice. Now, I don't know. For all I know, these guys are weird, and I don't want to have anything to do with them. I don't know. But, I need to send off the link to my AWS setup, and I just did it on a Saturday. I just put it together and threw it up there, just to say I can, because I haven't had any professional opportunities to do that. It just wasn't on the docket, and these guys are probably very much into that. And it's a real weird offshoot, because usually you can't use things like AWS for that. Anyway, so if I get to Albuquerque a little bit early, I'll try to send this stuff off. So that people can see my I can't do it. I had some spare time, and I said, "Nope, here, I'll just do this." Boom. Started doing a thing on the Azure, but it started getting a little weird pretty fast. So I was a little I didn't do much with that yet. I might do it this weekend if things don't really pull together. Anyway, this guy had made all this money. I'm sorry, I keep bouncing around like I always do. And it makes all my recordings really disjointed. That, and I'm thinking that I want to go ahead and put Aki-Aki on my little website anyway. So I can, catch things faster. That's really good to be able to catch things really fast. Make it so that it works really well, and it's not really that hard to work with. anyway, so. But I can put it behind my Caddy server so that it's secure. People can't just log into it and get to it. Last time I did, I did Aki Aki many years ago. And like back in 1996 or 1997, I had set up a little Aki Aki thing just for at home because I didn't have an internet connection, of course. We were living in Tucumcari, but let me tell you, the only thing you had was dial-up, and there was nobody local doing dial-up for an internet on-ramp. I had a little thing. We had Juno email, and we had for Lisa to send stuff back and forth to me when I was on the boat. I think this was before the boat, honestly. I think this may have been when I was still working at WIC, and so it would have been 95, 96, 97 territory. And I had rigged it up. I actually had two instances running. One that was just read-only. It didn't have any capacity for you to add anything to it. So, and it wasn't static web pages. It was just put together with Aki, and which was great, you know. And then there was a different website you could go to, and that one was kind of my private one. And you could actually do your alterations on it. So anyway, it was a cool little doodad. Aki's wonderful for this kind of stuff. Or Awk, AWK. Very, very specific. Scripting language, for lack of a better term for it. Let you chop up things and mess around with them a little bit. And this guy had made a really primitive wiki with it. And so I kind of like it. I've got to download it again. Went and found it. Or at least I know where to find it now. And I think I'm going to put it back up. It seems to fit well with my banana pie Internet of Things server. I've got a 1 terabyte hard drive attached to it. Anyway, so right now, it's just running my my website through Caddy. I love Caddy because Caddy takes care of all that. Let's encrypt stuff. I used to do that somewhat manually, which is hilarious because it's actually made to be done automatically. And I need to put a few more things on it. I've got my PyGopher server running. But now that was interesting in that now it can serve up the newest version. It was taken over by some guy, and it now does Gemini and another little thing. For people who are kind of into those, I really haven't explored much at all on that. Kind of strip town HTTP. What else? I was running the Secranet VBS, but it seems to not be very stable on this particular system. So instead of trying to figure out what the problem is with it, I just decided to shut that part down. I really don't, you know, I'm really not much of a guy into interaction. Back to that guy who was talking about education, but I really wasn't paying a lot of attention to what he was saying. The interesting thing was is that Jordan Peterson brought up John Taylor Gatto, who I had studied a long time ago when he got very he got really popular off of an essay. And then it kind of became kind of a thing, and he became a speaker, going around and speaking to a lot of homeschooling outfits. It's really interesting. Homeschooling used to be really fringe, and really progressive people were the only ones doing it. I know that's confusing because people say, oh, progressives are leftists. And you go, not necessarily. Or, you know, just doing things that are out of the norm. A conservative person will put their kids in public schools and will do, you know, will just do what society tells them to do. That's rather conservative. Now it's really interesting because a lot of this really old-fashioned-y type stuff is really is really getting fringe. If you just follow the crowd, what used to be a wise thing to do is to follow the crowd back 50, 60 years ago, is now very much don't follow the crowd. Don't get involved in this. Don't do this. Don't do that. And so it's really interesting to hear from these, you know, what you would consider to be really conservative things. This fella got his MBA, and they started doing. Started doing this weird thing as an adjunct professor at the Harvard Business School, maybe one of the Ivy League business schools, and it wasn't going over very well, and they were getting rid of everybody. And he was one of them, and he was one unslated for this. And they all left and started teaching their classes in another way, and then taught their classes in a whole different place. And it was wild, man. Makes me think, in the past, I was looking at doing classes online, you know, and doing the whole thing, doing the lectures, doing stuff like this, stuff like that. Using the same kind of methodology that would normally be used for, like, Western governors, you know? And I might still do that if I get the opportunity to make some money. You know, very, very little of what I've done has made money. I figure if I turn most of my stuff more into textbooks and stuff like that, you know, do it as kind of a class to learn something. That might be very interesting. Just as kind of a way to, I seem to recall the guy who wrote the book The Martian was basically blogging about it and got really popular blogging. And he really made the bulk of his money basically putting up chapters on Amazon and having people bring it down for 99 cents. I got, well, at least I started learning a little bit about this kind of stuff through, like, Moodle. And, still do something like that. I seem to recall that this was something that I had pondered before, and that I just got, I don't know what happened, I got sidetracked by other things. And, that was on the Jordan Peterson podcast, he wasn't doing it for money. You know, in fact, he says this ends up being a lot of kids getting together and kind of forming little tribes. He compared it to 1 week you're doing, I forget what you were doing 1 week. And then the next week you were doing Lord of the Flies because you're basically giving it to the kids today. And it sounded interesting from the standpoint of... kind of the same thing that John Taylor Gatto was doing, basically monkey wrenching the school that he was at, and sending kids out to go and do things. It was called. Guerrilla education. Sometimes he would often equate it to the kinds of attitudes that were trying to be instilled in the most elite schools. You know how one wins. It's almost Machiavellian. So to be really honest, I wasn't really into that myself. I'm just this guy. I'm not wanting to make $1 billion. I don't know if I'm still trying to find a peer group. I really don't know. But this is interesting. Will I continue to work full time? This is, yeah. Why? And you go, because my wife really wants that money. You know, that's her thing. I found out this is interesting. We did the whole what's that guy's name? Anyway. We got out of debt, and his big thing was, you know, have 6 or 8 months of a reserve to help you get past.